are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Thursday edition of the show. It's a big show. We've got Jeff Lloyd joining me. He's going to start our annual Locked On 49ers mock draft. He's the host of Locked On Browns. He's picking number one overall. He's going to get us started on this mock draft, and we're going to continue going on here through the 49ers pick and probably beyond and get a good look from people who cover the teams closer than just me throwing out my own mock draft. And each individual pick will be made by someone who covers that team. A lot of those by hosts of the Locked On Podcast Network. And that's what's happening today with Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns, making pick number one for the Cleveland Browns to kick this thing off. And before we get to that, here is the rest of my personal 49ers specific big board. Yesterday took you through the first three tiers I have. And just reviewing that real quick, the first tier is only two players. It's Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson. Then I've got a group of five players that I still like for the 49ers at pick number nine. And then another little bigger group that is something that I'm thinking is a trade down scenario. Players that ultimately you would draft if you traded down from number nine. And maybe one of those guys that's still in the second tier would be available. So those are the top three tiers, taking us through 14 players. And now here's the rest of it. A much bigger tier is more like the second, third round tier, which covers about another 25 players or so. So we'll pick up where I left off yesterday with tier number four, starting with overall prospect number 15 overall in my 49ers specific big board. This is a group of players that some of these guys are going to be end of the first round. Some of these guys might go mid or early first round even, but a lot of these players would be players that I would hope would start to sneak their way close to number 59 in the second round or be within trade up distance for the 49ers toward the middle or the early second round area. And I'm going to go through these quicker because we're running out of time here. Number 15, this is Marcus Davenport, defensive end out of Texas San Antonio. He's a project to me. I don't think he's anywhere near as good of a player as, of course not for Bradley Chubb, but even Harold Landry. And a lot of people want to put Marcus Davenport at pick number nine. Don't think he's worth it. He's a project. He's got the height, weight, speed. He just doesn't move. He kind of bends at the waist. He moves awkward. Kind of looks like a goon at times. But and then there's times where you're like, oh, this guy's a freak, and he will destroy somebody with speed or power. He's got more power than Harold Landry for sure. He's 6'5", 260 pounds, and he ran a 4.6, I believe, at the combine, maybe even high 4.5. He's a former wide receiver, just a really good athlete, not quite the player yet, but a project and somebody that at this point in the draft, if all those other guys are gone, you're probably late first, early second right now I'm talking, then he's worth it because the potential that he could – what he could become. The ceiling is high, the floor is low for Marcus Davenport, defensive end slash linebacker from University of Texas, San Antonio. And then some corners that it's very hard for me to separate these guys. This is the order I like them, and they would all have a ton of value at this point. And that is Carlton Davis, cornerback out of Auburn, Isaiah Oliver, cornerback out of Colorado, Josh Jackson, cornerback out of Iowa. All three long cornerbacks. And I think particularly Carlton Davis and Isaiah Oliver have a chance to be there in the second round, might be the type of player 49ers are looking for in that second round range in the 50s. Moving on to Rashad Evans, linebacker, Alabama, just another stud linebacker from Alabama, can do just about everything you need your middle linebacker or weak side linebacker to do. Number 20, Cortland Sutton, big bodied wide receiver out of Southern Methodist University. I think he's going to end up sneaking into the first round. Would love to see him still on the board in the second round. Would be someone I would absolutely I would love to see develop in Kyle Shanahan's scheme. At his size, 6'3 and a half, 220 pounds, he's got quicks. He ran, I think, the third fastest three-cone time at the combine, ran 4.5, just a big, awesome, and he will hit you. He's a hardworking guy. That's so key for wide receivers. He ought to still be a football player. He will hit you, and he will work his butt off because refining your technique is so important for a wide receiver. I would love to see them have a dynamic player that's got some athleticism. At the size of Cortland Sutton, that'd be a fun piece for the 49ers to have on offense. Moving along to some offensive linemen, Frank Ragnow, center slash guard from Arkansas. James Daniels, one of the most athletic offensive linemen in this draft, center from Iowa. And then Billy Price, a guard slash center from Ohio State. Billy Price, pulled or tore his pec muscle. So he's had to sit out most everything. I think he did that during the bench press at the combine. He's had to sit out a lot of this off-season stuff. So the jury's out on his medical reports, and he'll definitely fall, I think, into the second round now because of that. But a lot of people were hyping him up as a first-round player. I would really like to see him in 49ers red and gold and be someone who could start at guard and eventually move over to center if the need was there. Frank Ragnow, similar story, one of my favorite offensive linemen in this draft, really athletic. He's got a little bit more length to him. I could even see Frank Ragnow playing a little tackle. He's got that kind of length, 33-inch arm length, 6'4". But he has that athleticism. He also has that athleticism that Kyle Shanahan wants, an interior offensive lineman in this scheme. And then James Daniels, the other guy I mentioned here in this group, is definitely the most athletic center in this. He fires out of his stance as a center and gets to the second level with so much ease. And I have zero doubt in my mind Kyle Shanahan loves what he saw from James Daniels on tape. I think Daniels is going to go in that range well before the 49ers pick in the second round. They already spent money on center. I don't know if any of these guys are going to be really, maybe they're going to be a little too expensive. It depends on how they fall. I think Ragnow is going to go third out of that group and might still be there in the third round. 49ers might want to go for an offensive lineman at that point. But back to James Daniels, just explodes out of his stance. He moves like a fullback instead of a 300 and whatever 10-pound center that he is. I would like to see him finish better once he does get to the second level and shows up with a linebacker or shows up with somebody in space. But athleticism's off the charts for him. And if you want an athletic center, James Daniels is your guy. Okay, Mike Gesicki, tight end out of Penn State, comes in at number 24. I think he's going to surprise people how high he goes because he's so athletic. 6'5". He ran 4.5 at the combine, 42-inch vertical, athletic freak. You want a red zone weapon? Mike Gesicki's your guy. Move around, tight end, put him in the slot. Big tight end, not much of a blocker at this point in his development. DJ Moore, wide receiver out of Maryland, third wide receiver on this list. He's number 25 overall for me. Super athletic, can run after the catch, can go get the ball down the field. He's got speed, he's got some strength. He's only about 6 feet tall, but 210 pounds, strong player. Maybe not the red zone weapon you'd be looking for, but he's absolutely the third best wide receiver in this class to me. Josh Sweat, defensive end from Florida State. If you listen to the episode with John Ledyard, he likes Josh Sweat a lot more than Marcus Davenport, has him as the number three defensive end. One thing I have seen from Josh Sweat that I did not like was he is consistently, almost every snap, he is the last man off the line of scrimmage. Just firing off so slow, and it's worrisome. So there's some development to do there. He didn't quite play an outside edge position all that often at Florida State, played some inside stuff, but when he was outside, there was a missing bit of dynamic ability in how he played, even though he showed an insane amount of dynamic ability in his workouts. He had the best workout by far of any of the edge defenders, so potential is there. I just don't know what you're going to get exactly in Josh Sweat, so I wouldn't want to take him before the second round. And he's also got some really nasty injuries in his past, torn ACL, dislocated kneecap, I think, and also torn meniscus. So a lot of red flags medically, which could cause him to fall to the point where he might be a value player, second or third round. And now we're talking with Josh Sweat. And then I'm going to list three running backs here in a row. And in this order is how I like them. I wouldn't take any of them in the first round. You start talking about the late second round, maybe I would take him there, and it's not so much of a need anymore for the 49ers, given what they think about Jerick McKinnon and plugging him in as the starter. But Darius Geis, I think, is the second best running back in this class out of LSU. He might be able to – I kind of have my doubts how high some of these guys will go. People are trying to say there's going to be four running backs in the first round. I think it might be Saquon Barkley, and that's it. But Darius Geis is a better running back between the tackles right now than Saquon Barkley is. He will give you everything he has every single run. Really like watching Darius Geis play. Nick Chubb, still like Nick Chubb, and Sony Michel. Those are the next two guys, and it's hard to rank those two players. They're a little bit different, but both running backs from Georgia I love. Nick Chubb has a chance to be this year's Kareem Hunt. I love his feet, even though he's a 227-pound running back at 5'11". He's got great feet in small spaces, and he can surprise you. He ran a better 40 time than Sony Michel, which I think surprised a lot of people, 4.5s. He can hit a long run as well. And then Sony Michel's a really athletic running back. He can get to the outside better. I think he might fit that outside zone scheme a little bit better than some of these other running backs. Running back out of Georgia, Sony Michel, a dynamic player. I think he's going to be very good for somebody, probably a little bit too rich for the 49ers, but he comes in at number 29 for me, and that's kind of the end of this tier. Still evaluating some other players that might work their way into this last tier, or maybe even higher, but right now that's how I see it. That's the top 29 guys I have, and I'm hoping the 49ers at pick 9 and 59 have a chance to pick two of those players.
So that's what the big board looks like. As of now, it's early April. There is going to be some revisions, maybe some players in and out of there, and I've got to continue going on because I've got to do a shadow 49ers draft, taking us all the way through 7 rounds. And then when I start getting into the later rounds, there's more groupings of players. It's not like I just have one running list of 200 or 300 players that I like for the 49ers. There's definitely specific groups, players I'm identifying later in the draft that I think I really like, and we'll talk a lot more about some of those players as well as maybe what I think might be changing between now and then as I continue to watch more of these players and prepare for the NFL draft. I do want to remind everybody to follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's the place to get those mailbag questions in. Going to hit some mailbag questions next week on the show. And also, if you have any longer form questions, you can always hit me via email, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify. We are everywhere. So now, let's not waste any more time. Let's get to today's guest. All right, joining me now is an esteemed colleague from the Locked On Podcast Network. You know him from Twitter at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. He does a lot of NFL draft tweets and is hosting Locked On Browns and is joining me here to make the pick to kick off this Locked On 49ers mock draft. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thanks a lot for having me, Brian. And look, you know, any of my Locked On Browns listeners, whether you love or hate me in the seat I'm in, you got Brian Peacock to thank for it, guys.
Yes, I apologize to all the Cleveland Browns fans out there.
They got a lot bigger fish to fry than just me, my friend.
Some important business to attend to here on draft day. Two picks in the top four. We're going to focus on one, maybe talk a little bit about pick four here. Is it all about quarterback here? Would it be crazy for him to do? I know there's a lot of talk about, oh, they're going to draft Saquon Barkley, then they can still get the quarterback at number four with the Jets moving up. I mean, that's got to be completely out of the question, right? And especially with like all the trades they've made in the past, trading away from quarterbacks, it's all QB all the time, number one.
It absolutely has to be, because here is a franchise who, since they've returned to Cleveland, they've never gotten the position right. You finally get yourself in a position high in the draft, number one, and you look, having number four is great, but you're not going to sit back and maybe watch somebody else take your first choice. You're not going to watch somebody else take your second choice for a running back. And I don't care if it's Emmitt Smith numbers that you're going to get. You've got to get the quarterback first. Even if Saquon Barkley duplicates those numbers, it doesn't matter. You've got to get the quarterback first. I think they are full on in. All the top five guys are coming to the offices in Berea. They're all going to get a chance to tour the facility. They are not leaving any stone unturned here. They've attended pro days. I mean, every possible step they've gone through where they want to be a part of it and want to know everything they know about each one of these five guys before they ultimately make their decision.
So before I put you in the big seat, is there something just from a whisper's perspective? Is there a feel that you have a certain way which quarterback the Browns and John Dorsey are leaning to there at number one?
The thing that kind of stands out, and it's weird because, you know, all fall talking about, you know, what could be potentially a great quarterback class, you know, whether it was the Matt Millers of the world, the Dane Gruglers, the Eric Galco, every time I had them on, you know, so Sam Darnold, what's your gut? Going back to school or coming out in the draft? Every one of them, to a man, he's going back to school. Nothing's changed. He said he was going back to school. He's going back to school. Now, played his ball game. Obviously, it was a tough game against Ohio State. You know, he didn't play great, but he showed a lot, you know, going out there, taking his whipping, and just kept going throw for throw. And, you know, it ultimately wasn't a great showing for him, but it kind of showed the type of character you're looking for in a guy that you're going to hand your franchise to. And now here was the thing. Sam Darnold, who had come out before the season started in August and said, look, I have every intention of returning, you know, back to USC. I have no thoughts about leaving. Then it started to come out again in November that Sam Darnold has no issues, no issue or thought process of going to the NFL draft. So he played his bowl game. Cleveland had already clinched the number one pick. So he knew, well, look, Cleveland's got one. Cleveland got four. There's a huge possibility I could end up being a Cleveland Brown. Did he take one of his 2 years remaining eligibility-wise? Or did he say, no, I'm done. I'm going pro. That's what my heart's telling me. That's what my mind's telling me. So he's going pro. It seems everyone to a man. I think they like certain things about all of these guys. But the fact is, it takes a certain guy to be put in this situation. I love Josh Rosen. If I could draft Josh Rosen at number one overall, I would. But what we hear about Josh Rosen as far as the intellectual guy and the type of guy he is, if I draft him at number one, the first day he's going to get there, and first question he's going to have is, you guys all just, you still have the coach that just went 1-31? And I'm not saying it's going to rub people the wrong way. It's a perfectly good question to ask because, I mean, I've been asking it for 4 months now myself. You need the guy who's going to be okay with walking into the situation for what it is and is going to buy in, even though the product right now isn't that great, but he can buy in the fact that he can be a part of something better. And I think that's kind of where, you know, Sam Darnold's a front runner now. I mean, we're still hearing the Josh Allen rumors. I don't know how much of that, though, is tied to the fact that Sam Darnold and Josh Allen have the same agent. You know, there could some be there, like, look, we'll give you a little Sam Darnold information, but please do us a favor and, you know, keep those Josh Allen flames burning high.
Is there any whispers of any of the other quarterbacks? Because those are the two names I've seen tied to the Browns, is Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. Any dark horse? Baker Mayfield slipping in there. I know a Pro Football Focus, I think, is the only mock that has the guts to put Baker Mayfield that high, but they do a completely different thing over there. Any indication that they might like another quarterback or even might like someone like Lamar Jackson enough to just sit back and be like, hey, I know he's going to be there at four. Let's do this thing and take the best non-quarterback.
There hasn't been much talk about Lamar Jackson, but it actually just came out in the last day or two that he will have an official visit out to Cleveland. So that was something, because his name's been kind of quiet, and, you know, it's been a tough process for Lamar. You know, how they went about this theory of trying to, you know, do this without having an agent and having some guy to do that. I mean, it's a tough spot for him. I kind of feel bad because he's definitely getting some, you know, dings to his game that he doesn't deserve. But, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, look, you're a grown man, you make your bed, you got to lie at it. Baker, I think they like Baker, but the problem with Baker is Baker, everything he is tells you this is the guy. He's going to come in here. He doesn't give a crap that it says Cleveland Browns. He comes in here, he's going to want to win. But the issue is going to be, what if it doesn't start very good? What if it's a slow start? Now you've got a volatile guy. You know, there's issues why Baker Mayfield is the perfect guy, and then there's issues that draw you some hesitation. Would he be comfortable knowing the fact that he's going to sit for a little bit because Tyrod Taylor's here? You know, Baker Mayfield's already 23 years old. He's played a ton of college ball. I don't think Baker Mayfield, anywhere he goes, has any eyes on sitting. You know, I think the other thing is, ideally, you know, I hate to do this to him, but, man, you really wish Baker Mayfield were 6'2". He's 6'5". It is what it is. Somebody's going to love him, and it's not going to matter. I think it does matter a little bit in Cleveland. Everybody's got their nuances on why they like him, and I think that's why, and look, the NFL wants drama, so the last thing they want is Cleveland Browns right now saying, today, we know who our guy is. We're gonna, you know, this is the guy we're going to take. The NFL doesn't want that. It's a show they got to put on. But I do think, for the most part, they know who it is. I still think that somewhere in there, there's some thoughts that maybe Josh Allen could be that guy. But, you know, you look at that, at the end of the day, Hugh Jackson just ran a 21-year-old kid out of town. So now you're going to draft another kid who's got basically the same issues in college that Deshaun Kizer did, and you still have the same head coach in place. You don't really – I mean, the entire coaching staff could be gone after this year anyway. So, are you going to do that to another guy who's got things that need to be worked on? And then, you know, after 6 months, everyone that he's worked with is gone, and it could be a total retread from there. So I think everybody's got a shot here, but, you know, I just don't see any way. It's just not Sam.
My guest today, Jeff Lloyd of Locked On Browns, and you are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local daily sports podcast network. If you would like to advertise with us and reach thousands of loyal 49ers and NFL fans, local and national sponsorships are available. Email lockedon49ers@gmail.com. So with that said, I think I know which direction you're going here. It's time to put Jeff Lloyd on the clock in this Locked On 49ers annual mock draft. Cleveland Browns select.
They will take the grandson of the former man that blessed the signs in old Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. The Marlboro man's grandson, Sam Darnold, comes to Cleveland. He sees what's around him, the talent-wise. He sees that he just needs to come in here and be the quarterback of this team. He doesn't have to take over a franchise. Look, there's good talent here. I know nobody wants to believe it because this team is 1-31 and just went 0-16. But you have a good offensive line. Even with Joe Thomas moving on, you still have a good offensive line. You have some decent running backs. You've got weapons to throw the ball with. you've got a pretty good defense if everybody can stay healthy and on the field together. Sam comes in. He's not going to be asked to play right away. He's got to keep working on his footwork, which it's an issue. He does, you know, obviously turn the ball over here. But Sam Darnold is your guy. He's just the guy that he fits what you need for what you're selling. It's not going to bother him that the franchise hasn't been successful. He's okay with that. He's going to show up. He's going to do his job. And he's going to put in the time it needs to be the best quarterback that this guy at this team can take out of the five names available here at one.
Yeah, and I think bringing in Tyrod Taylor and having that veteran starter kind of helped solidify. But before that, I thought Josh Rosen's got to be the pick because you need someone who can come in and play right away. And I thought Rosen would be that guy and maybe even Baker Mayfield. But Sam Darnold and even Josh Allen, if those are the picks, it makes a lot more sense to have that veteran quarterback just because there's some things to work on still. And those guys, especially Sam Darnold, so young coming out as a redshirt sophomore. So pick one, that's locked in. Sam Darnold to the Cleveland Browns. Now, you're pretty much guaranteed to have either the number one or number two non-quarterback on your board at pick number four. So there's a good chance I don't even need to call you back when you're on the clock at number four for the Cleveland Browns. Who are those two guys in order that you would have as non-quarterbacks for the Browns?
Me personally here, I think the first name you're going to think about, me personally, obviously it's not going to work for the sake of what you're doing here. I'm going to pedal for, because if it's a quarterback-heavy draft, I'm certainly going to put it out there. And if I can get enough of a return where, you know, Buffalo would be the team I'd look for, if I could get 12 and 22 and I can get those two guys, I'll go that route. If I'm going to stay at four, I'm going to go pass rusher. Bradley Chubb is a guy everybody loves, and I do. I love Bradley Chubb's all-around game. But Harold Landry out of Boston College is a better pass rusher. Wow. And that is what I need with Cleveland. I have Emmanuel Ogbah, who was essentially the defensive MVP last year for the Cleveland Browns up until he got hurt. You know, he's not the elite pass rusher, but his run D was fantastic. I've already got Myles Garrett. Some people want to knock Harold Landry. Oh, you know, I don't know how big of a presence he is in the run game. If I take Harold Landry at four, he doesn't necessarily have to play on first down. I've got my D line for first and 10. I need more juice for second and nine and third and seven. I need to bring more pass rush, because my secondary is good, but I don't have shutdown cover guys. And we saw this later in the year where Cleveland was playing everybody 8 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. The safety was 25 yards off. They knew their pass rush wasn't going to get home. So they tried to keep everything in front of them, go with the bend but don't break approach. I get a guy like Harold Landry coming off of one edge, and I have Myles Garrett who can go inside or can obviously kill it from the outside. We all know that. I have Emmanuel Ogbah. They signed Smith from Cincinnati, who can rotate on a nickel and dive in front and get some penetration. As much as I love Bradley Chubb's game, and I do think he's going to be a solid pro, I want sacks. I want, you know, I want disruption, you know, in the pass defensive game. And I think that I'm going to get more bang for my buck from Harold Landry. And I'll take Harold Landry at four, knowing that I don't have, you know, maybe he isn't a three down player, which is fine with me because I'm not going to play him. He's not going to have to be a three-down player for me. I want him rested to go on second and long and third-down passing situations.
Wow, Harold Landry, okay. Number four, that'd be very high for him. I'm also high on Harold Landry. He's in my second tier of players, but I do have Bradley Chubb higher in that first tier of guys. So what would be your guess as to how John Dorsey sees things with the top couple of players that are non-quarterbacks?
I would say it's probably, you know, I think Bradley Chubb is probably a guy they're looking at. I don't think Saquon Barkley, and this isn't a knock on Saquon Barkley, I don't think he's a guy they're really looking at. They have Duke Johnson, who had 73 receptions last year, is a phenomenal asset in the passing game, which is what kind of sets Barkley apart from the rest of these backs, is he is a phenomenal two-way player. Yep. He gives you so much in the run game, you know, gives you some return, which he's never going to do in the NFL, guys, except for a pinch here. No one's going to risk that investment with him returning kicks. Everybody wants to bring it up. And he had over 500 yards receiving last year. But the Browns don't need that. I mean, they already have extension talks with Duke Johnson in the works. You brought in Carlos Hyde, obviously, you know, was a former Buckeye, you know, one guy coming back closer to Ohio State to play. He can be your first or second down thumper. You know, maybe you want to add some youth there for a guy on first and second down. I'm not just going to take Saquon Barkley for the fact that, you know, I have myself a three down back because I don't need one. And you see so many teams now. The majority of the teams, you go with, you know, running back by committee or, you know, guys with defined roles. I have 3 second-round picks. If I want a running back, I have my chances at Sony Michel or Nick Chubb or a lot of other guys in that range. I don't need to go heavy at the running back position. I need to go heavy at D end. If there was a left tackle who warranted consideration at four, they'd be all over it. But in this class, I mean, we're still struggling to find out who left tackle number one is, let alone, finding a guy that'd be worthy of going top five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally see that. So if Saquon Barkley's not in it, I saw a lot of stuff with Minkah Fitzpatrick early on in a lot of mock drafts. It was really common to the Browns at four. Do you think he's in play there still, even after they've done some moves and trades and they brought in who they bring in? They brought in someone from Pittsburgh.
Demarius Randall.
Well,
they brought in Demarius Randall from Green Bay, who was a corner there. He's going to go. He was a free safety in college. He's going to go back to free safety here for the Browns. The problem with Minkah Fitzpatrick is when you kind of do a little bit of everything and you do it well, the question then becomes, what is your calling card? And everybody just said, oh, well, he's going to play corner. You're just going to put him out of corner. Well, now that we've got some testing numbers, Denzel Ward tested better than he did. Jaire Alexander tested better than he did. And these guys, they've made their living on the outside. Minkah, it would be pure, everyone wants to do the Jalen Ramsey thing. Jalen Ramsey's last year in Tallahassee, he played corner full time. Minkah, it's kind of been all over. And as great as it is that he is versatile, you kind of, at the end of the day, well, where's his position going to be? I mean, he could kind of fit here, but, they signed three cornerbacks. They now are four deep at safety position. It would almost just be taking the player because you really love them, which I don't think they do, because they wouldn't have had to sign these guys knowing they held pick number four. And I think our days of, Minkah Fitzpatrick being a top five pick are long gone. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy available probably 8, 9, 10. We expected outstanding test numbers. He tested very well. He didn't test, off the charts. He's still going to be a solid, solid NFL pro, but I think the top five talk, that's sadly been put to rest.
So what you're saying is if you are picking for the Browns and you were in the big chair at number four and it went quarterback, 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 do you think the Browns would go Chubb there? Or do you think, or would you actually be ballsy enough to put Harold Landry in that spot?
If I were picking between the two for what I need, I'm going to take Harold Landry. Because I'm not going to put Emmanuel Agba on the inside. He's shown well enough to be a solid number two defensive end in the NFL. Played the run outstanding. I can rotate him in a pass rush scenario in any spot on the D-line. I can do the same with Myles Garrett. I need the guy who can put his ears back and get after the passer. And if we're judging just straight on who's the better pass rusher, it's Harold Landry. A lot of people were down. He was injured in 17. Didn't, have the same tape that he had in 16. His 16 tape was phenomenal. And going into the season, a lot more people mentioned Landry over Chubb. The injury held it back, but Harold Landry is a fantastic pass rusher. He will be a 10-plus sack a year guy. If you choose me between the two, like I said, left tackle is not an option. The running back's not going to work. If I want pure pass rusher at four, and that's what I'm basing my pick on, I'm taking Harold Landry at four, and I'm okay with it.
There you have it. That is Jeff Lloyd. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. And tell your friends about Locked On Browns. It's a daily podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're doing special things over here. If you know someone who's a Browns fan and they're not in on the Locked On Browns thing, slap them upside the head and tell them about it and let them know Jeff Lloyd is the host and to subscribe to that thing. Jeff, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Brian. And hey, man, thanks again. I appreciate you, buddy. You know that.
All right. Pass rushers coming off the board early in this mock draft and making 49ers fans maybe a little bit nervous. Maybe Chubb and Landry are both off the board, but that would just push down another player. That's the beauty of picking number nine right now. There's going to be some very good, talented football players available for the 49ers, however things shake out in the top eight. Pick number one. It's in the books in the Locked On 49ers annual mock draft. Jeff Lloyd selecting Sam Darnold, quarterback out of USC for the Cleveland Browns at number one. So that means we'll be back on Monday. And next week, I've got Dylan DeSimone joining me on the show. We've got a little announcement for what's going to be going on live during the NFL draft with both the 4th and 9 crew and myself, Locked On 49ers crew, getting together. We're going to bring you a little something special. We're going to announce that next week with Dylan. And he's going to join me on the show to talk 49ers and talk draft. And picking for the New York Giants at number two, Patricia Traina. She's the co-host of Locked On Giants, also writes for The Athletic NYC. So that's all coming up next week, along with, of course, Mr. Nick Winkler for another Winky Wednesday right here on Locked On 49ers.